Welcome back to Cartels, Conspiracies, and Camarena. I'm Jack Llewellyn. Thank you, as always, for joining me. We are running a couple of days late this week. A couple of work emergencies pushed things back, but getting back on track now and interested in what we're going to talk about today. Last week, we talked about a new operation from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection called Operation Plaza Strike. And the idea was that the plaza leaders exert a lot of control, have a lot of authority, a lot of power within their individual cartels, and going after the plaza leaders might be a sufficient disruption in the supply chain and the network of the cartels to create real damage and real injury to the cartel. So U.S. Customs and Border Protection says we're going to start going after the plaza leaders, and we're initially going to look at the plaza leader in Nogales with an idea towards stopping the flow of fentanyl through Nogales, which it is said to amount to about 40-something percent of the fentanyl going from Mexico into the United States. Today, we're going to talk about a different strategy for going after the cartels and cartel leaders, but we're going to do it in terms of current events, something that's happened over the last few days. Before we get into that, though, I also want to note something else that we're going to talk about today. Over and over and over, I've said on this podcast and various episodes, be careful what you read. And be very careful of the headlines that you can read, because they're not always clear, complete, accurate, etc. So we're going to talk about that. Let me start by just talking about the Jalisco Cartel New Generacion, CJNG. I'm assuming if you're listening to this, you know who CJNG is. And more importantly, you know who Nemesio Osegurera Cervantes is, El Mencho, the unquestioned leader of CJNG, one of the most wanted criminals in Mexico, wanted by the United States, wanted by Mexico, has been in power for a long time. Why do we talk about El Mencho? Because the news that came out over the last few days relates to his older brother, Abraham Oseguera Cervantes, who also goes by the name Don Rondo. So Abraham, the brother of El Mencho, was arrested last Sunday in the municipality of Atlan de Navarro, which is in Jalisco. It's about 200 kilometers, southwest of Guadalajara, 175 kilometers northeast of Manzanillo, if that gives you a little bit of a frame of reference. He was detained shortly before 4 a.m. He was subsequently transferred to a federal attorney general's facility in Mexico City. Then he went to Altiplano Prison, which we've talked about before, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Now, Abraham has had his own issues with the law at various times. U.S. records show that he served time in California in the mid-1990s for trafficking heroin. He was subsequently released and deported back to Mexico. It is said that he conducted or was responsible for administrative activities within the CJNG. And if you could see me, I'm using the air quotes because I don't really know what administrative activities within the CJNG means, but that's how it was referred to in several of the press releases. It's also said that Abraham was responsible or in charge of some of the cartel's trafficking routes into the United States. What's interesting is I want to paint the picture. What's the media say? And this is why I said we're going to talk about, you know, being careful of what you hear. So Reuters, and then this Reuters article got picked up by lots of other news sources, MSN, Yahoo, those sorts of things. But we have this headline: in potential blow to cartel, Mexico nabs brother of drug lord El Mencho. A YouTube program talking about this arrest starts off with the headline: CJ Angie suffers a huge blow. We're going to talk about why those headlines may not be completely accurate in a second. As I said, Abraham was moved to Antiplano prison. News from today. So I'm talking to you on Sunday, April 28th. And this comes from, there's a synopsis of it in Borderland Beat, but this comes from a couple of press reports from Mexican newspapers themselves. So a hearing was held on the sufficiency of the evidence presented against Abraham and whether or not that was sufficient to support the charges against him. The hearing is said to have lasted essentially overnight, lasted for about 17 hours. It was apparently delayed at the beginning by a couple of hours, went again for 17 hours or so. The defense put on a variety of witnesses, a large number of witnesses, to try to show that the evidence presented, the charges against Abraham, weren't sufficiently proven. The judge, at the end of that 17-hour hearing, which would have been sometime on Sunday morning, held that there was insufficient evidence from the prosecution to support the two charges against him, one of which was illegal possession of a gun. As of the last word, again, talking to you on Sunday evening, Abraham is still in Antiplano. There's a question of whether he could be rearrested on other charges or if, in fact, he will be released pursuant to this judge's order. Okay. Now, what's interesting about the arrest of Abraham, Don Rondo, and the headlines accompanying that arrest is that he is not, by any stretch of the imagination, the only relative of El Mencho's who has been arrested. In fact, he's not even the only brother of El Mencho's who has been arrested. If you'll remember, if you go back to December 2022, not that long ago, Antonio Osagrera Cervantes, alias El Tony Montana, was arrested in Guadalajara on money laundering and drug trafficking charges. He was subsequently charged in the United States. El Tony Montana oversaw the logistics, bought weapons, laundered money, was also in charge of some of the violent activities of the cartel. And he too had been in prison previously. He had been in prison in 1996 in the United States on heroin charges. He too was deported back to Mexico. Antonio was on the department, the Treasury Department sanctions list at the time of his arrest. And at the time of his arrest, there were the exact same headlines. Brother of El Mencho arrested, you know, circle closing in on El Mencho as his brother's arrested. Disruption in the cartel, likely as a result of Tony Montana's arrest, all of these sorts of things. On top of that, we have other family members of El Mencho who have also been arrested. El Mencho's son, Ruben Oseguera Gonzalez, El Menchito, was said to have been a top CGNG leader. He was first captured in a large-scale military operation in Guadalajara in January 2014. He was released and then recaptured and extradited 6 years later, to the United States. We could talk for a long time about the nuances of El Menchito's case. He initially was going to plead, or he initially pled not guilty, and apparently had essentially agreed to a plea deal, was getting ready to make the plea deal, and a new fleet of lawyers arrived on the scene almost like something out of a movie and talked him into reconsidering those charges or that plea agreement. And how that's all playing out is still to be determined. We can come back and talk about that a little bit later. El Mencho's daughter was also arrested. Jessica Oseguera Gonzalez was arrested in February 2020 when she went to a court appearance of El Menchito. She was actually released from custody in April of 2022. El Mencho's wife, Rosalinda Gonzalez Valencia, was arrested in Mexico on money laundering charges in 2021. She was sentenced to 5 years in prison in late 2023. There are several reports and rumors out there that her case is, there are issues with her case, and there is a significant amount of speculation that she could be released. The headlines surrounding her her arrest are similarly inflammatory, if you will. Amongst those, narco queen, wife of cartel leader El Mencho arrested. El Mencho's wife arrested. What does it mean for Jalisco cartel? And then this one, pay attention to this one. Mexico authorities close in on CGNG with arrest of leader's wife. What's interesting about that one is that was the first time she was arrested in Mexico in May 28th, 2018. In all, there are about half a dozen of El Mencho's close relatives in custody or recently released from custody. And virtually every time there's one of these arrests, there is the inevitable headline, the inevitable discussion. What does this mean for the cartel? What does this mean for El Mencho? Does this mean people are getting closer to El Mencho? And then the second step, how is this going to impact CGNG? Is this going to be the, you know, the tile in the Jenga stack that brings everything down? Insight Crime has a very good analysis of this, and it's not very long, and I want to talk about it. They also talk specifically about this history of El Mencho's relatives being arrested. And in their analysis, they say, again, this is Insight Crime, there is little evidence to suggest that decapitating organizations in this manner significantly impacts their operations as a whole. It also runs counter to negotiations in which law enforcement officials offer to exclude relatives of drug traffickers from potential prosecution in exchange for their cooperation in criminal investigations. Contrary to some of the headlines, some of the rumors, some of the thoughts, some of the speculation, Insight Crime says the recent arrest of El Mencho's brother is unlikely to dent. Let me try that one more time. The recent arrest of El Mencho's brother is unlikely to dent the CGNG's rapid expansion throughout Mexico. They continue. Although often family-based operations, modern drug trafficking organizations are also now structured more like franchises than corporations and are well-placed to absorb the kinds of leadership challenges prompted by the arrest of close relatives. Many of their cells operate relatively locally and independently of each other, which cushions them from the loss of top leaders and also aids territorial expansion. Query, if you will, is this a development that has been implemented by CDS, CJNG, and others in light of the failure of some other cartels? And I'm thinking of the Zetas and particularly BLO and others. A couple of other interesting points from the Insight Crime article. They say, in the case of the latest Oseguera detention, Alberto Islas, security analyst and founder of the consultancy firm Global Leading Solutions, said it signifies a hard but momentary local blow to the CJNG and will force them to rearrange their arrangements. It hinders the organization temporarily and hits them financially, but the effect is temporary and they will recuperate or find another way, Islas told Insight Crime. Something we've talked about a lot in the past is the resiliency, the adaptability of some of the leading cartels, and leading is not a pejorative term or a normative term. It's simply talking about, you know, the largest and the ones who are most concerned with, CJNG and CDS in particular. But their resiliency, their ability to change and adapt, regardless of what's happening. And by golly, you can see it with respect to CJNG with all of El Mencho's relatives being arrested, right? Wife is arrested. Oh, no, that's going to be a big issue for CJNG. Excuse me. Turns out it really wasn't, at least as far as we can tell looking back on it. Same thing happens with Tony Montana. Same thing happens with El Rodo. The Insight Crime analysis concludes with the sentence, governments around the region have largely failed to vary their approach to anti-narcotics even when confronted with a lack of tangible results, and it cites some activities in Colombia in that regard. So the basic point of the Insight Crime analysis is that governments, whether it's the U.S. government, whether it's the Mexican government, whether it's the Colombian government, might relish the headlines, might like the ability to put out press releases and say, we got El Mencho's brother. We've arrested this person. We've arrested this person that's close to the person we really want. Now, it's not the person we really want, but it's close. That may have, you know, positive morale impacts, if you will. But when it comes to actually slowing down the trafficking, seriously impairing the ability of the traffickers to transact business, it does little or nothing. In case you think that Insight Crime is kind of alone in at least in this analysis, if not the same conclusions, El Pais in April of last year talked about the efforts to get to Los Chapitos and others and says the U.S. closes in on the Narco Juniors. That's the title. The article talks about Los Chapitos. The article talks about some other kind of kids of traffickers. It's very different because, you know, the difference obviously is Los Chapitos no longer are just El Chapo's kids. They are the leaders of a significant faction of the CDS now that their father is in jail.
Right.
Little bit different of a situation, but the point remains, trying to get to those close to traffickers, those close to cartel heads and leaders, is a well-honored, long-lasting objective and operational strategy of the Mexican government, of the U.S. government, and of other governments, even if, as Insight Crime says, there's little tangible evidence to suggest that it actually works. Now, I will be trying to keep up with the situation with El Rondo, or Don Rondo, sorry, and we'll let you know what happens with his, you know, with the order from the judge ordering him to be released, if he remains in Antiplano, if he's rearrested on his release, which is, you know, kind of it's an interesting thing. Hey, you're released on charges A. Oh, please stop before you leave, because by the way, we're arresting you on charges B. But it could happen. And as I say, I'll try to keep people aware of that. And I will put updates on my YouTube channel. And that really is it for today. I know this is probably the shortest episode I've ever done on this podcast. I apologize for that. But I wanted to get something to you, especially with respect to this particular situation with Don Rondo, and also deal with some other deadlines. So I appreciate your patience. I will be back next week with a full episode, and I'll tell you about some interesting things that are coming up in the week or two following. And with that, I wish you all a great week, and thank you for joining me on Cartels, Conspiracies, and Camarena. Take care, everyone.